Good morning, everyone. My name is Bridget Spain. You're all very welcome here. And it's a lovely morning for me because it's a very special service. I was saying to the girl this morning, when we did our confirmation, we were brought to the church and we were going to be grilled by the bishop and asked all sorts of questions that we needed to have the right answer to. But this morning we don't do that with our children. I just lay back and get them to do all the work. The girls are leading the service today. So just to introduce them, first of all, in order of appearance, the first is Lena this morning. That's Lena. The next one is Tara. And then Bella.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to those here in the church and to those joining us via the web camera. Welcome to our family and friends for coming this morning. We'll begin with our opening words. We come together in faith and hope to find what meaning life holds for us, to laugh and sing with one another, to soothe the wounds of daily life, and to grow together to wisdom and love.
Our chalice lighting. At times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine, hymn number 118. Let us pray. Lord, mystery of life and maker of galaxies, we wish for a storm or two that we may enjoy the calm. We wish for tranquility in time of trial. May we know a cool breeze on a warm day and pale white clouds that we may better appreciate the blueness of the sky. In times of darkness, that we may see the stars and remember the strong roots we were given. May we remember gratitude at times of high adventure, and may we have the courage to avoid dissension and to nourish inclusion and respect diversity. Give us a sense of wonder and poetry and music. May we know the gift of friendship, yet be able to appreciate solitude. May we have friends who will understand us and understanding so that you may be true to our friends. May we become all that we wish to be and more than we hope we can be. May we know the joy of nature. May we appreciate a hand to touch, a voice to cheer, a heart to gladden. May love be at the heart of everything we do in life. Amen. Our reader this morning is Peter.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me. I want to read from the Dalai Lama. And in the first instance, this is him just welcoming people to his meeting. I think that this is the first time I'm meeting most of you. But to me, whether it's an old friend or a new friend, there's not much difference anyway, because I always believe we are the same. We are human beings. Of course, there may be differences in cultural background or way of life. There may be differences in our faith, or we may be of a different color, but we are human beings consisting of a human body and the human mind. Our physical structure is the same, and our mind and our emotional nature are also the same. Wherever I meet people, I always have the feeling that I am encountering another human being just like myself. I find it is much easier to communicate with others at that level. If we emphasize special characteristics like I am a Tibetan or I am a Buddhist, then there are differences. But those things are secondary. If you can leave the differences aside, I think we can easily communicate, exchange ideas, and share experiences. And he has a paragraph then on one of his main tenets. He says, I believe the very purpose of our life is to seek happiness. Although it is possible to achieve happiness, happiness is not a simple thing. There are many levels. In Buddhism, for instance, there is a reference to the four factors of fulfillment or happiness: wealth, worldly satisfaction, spirituality, and enlightenment. Together, they embrace the totality of an individual's quest for happiness. Let us leave this aside for a moment, ultimate religious or spiritual aspirations like perfection and enlightenment, and deal with joy and happiness as we understand them in an everyday or worldly sense. Within this context, there are certain key elements that we conventionally acknowledge as contributing to joy and happiness. For example, good health is considered to be one of the necessary factors for a happy life. Another factor that we regard as a source of happiness is our material facilities or the wealth that we accumulate. An additional factor is to have friendship or companions. We all recognize that in order to enjoy a fulfilled life, we need a circle of friends with whom we can relate emotionally and trust. Now, all of these factors are in fact sources of happiness, but in order for an individual to be able to fully utilize them towards the goal of enjoying a happy and fulfilled life, your state of mind is key. It's crucial. If we utilize our favorable circumstances, such as our good health and our wealth, in positive ways in helping others, they can be contributory factors in achieving a happier life. And of course, we enjoy these things, our material facilities and success and so on. But without the right mental attitude, without attention to the mental factor, these things have very little impact on our long-term feelings of happiness. For example, if you harbor hateful thoughts or intense anger somewhere deep down within yourself, then it ruins your health. Thus, it destroys one of the factors. Also, if you're mentally unhappy or frustrated, then physical comfort is not much help. On the other hand, if you can maintain a calm, peaceful state of mind, then you can be a very happy person, even if you have poor health. So there is no guarantee that wealth alone can give you the joy of fulfillment that you are seeking. The same can be said of your friends too. When you're in an intense state of anger or hatred, even a very close friend appears to you somehow sort of frosty or cold and distant and quite annoying. So leaving aside the perspective of spiritual practice, even in worldly terms, in terms of enjoying our happy day-to-day existence, the greater the level of calmness in our mind, the greater our peace of mind, the greater our ability to enjoy a happy and joyful life.
We now have our children's story. Can the children please come to the front?
This is a once upon a time story about a girl named Mary. Mary was a very poor girl who had a very poor family. One day she was walking across the street and she found a purse on the ground. She opened it up.
Oh my God, there's 75 golden coins in here. I'm going to be rich.
She ran home to tell her mother the exciting news.
Mom, look, I found 75 gold coins. Can we keep it?
Wow, I wonder who must have lost them. We must bring it to the police station.
But that's not fair.
Yes, but it's the right thing to do. Mary went to the police station to hand in the purse. The policeman explained to her that if no one claimed the gold coins in a year's time, she was entitled to keep them. News spread around the town that a purse full of gold coins had been found and brought into the police station. A man named Joe, who was a nasty man and would do anything to get his hands on more gold, heard about this. He went to the police station and told the policeman that he had lost a purse full of gold coins. The policeman gave him the purse and he opened it up and said,
"There's only 75 gold coins in here. That girl must have taken my 25 because I lost 100.
Mary was called into the police station where she told Joe that,
"I only found 75 gold coins. I didn't take anything."
Joe told her that,
"I will take you to court."
How do you think Mary felt when Joe said that? Yeah, probably.
Sorry, give me the microphone so that the adults can
hear. Annoyed? Definitely annoyed.
Would you have been worried?
Probably, yeah.
I'd say
Well, She was. Mary and her family had many sleepless nights leading up to the court case, until the day came where they had to face the judge and tell their sides of the story. Mary told the judge that she had found the purse with only 75 gold coins in it, and that she had handed it into the police station. And Joe told the judge that he had lost his purse with 100 gold coins in it, and Mary must have taken 25 gold coins, and he wanted them back. The judge was very wise because he had an idea that Joe was lying about something, but how could he prove it? What do you think he decided?
Because he must have known why he, he might have seen.
Maybe he knew that he was a greedy man.
Yeah.
Because only 75 coins were actually only handed in.
Yeah, okay. He decided that two purses must have been lost. One lost by a stranger that had 75 gold coins in it, which Mary had found, and the second that Joe had lost with 100 gold coins. Since the stranger had not come forward to claim their 75 gold coins, Mary was entitled to keep them, and they would put posters all around the town to say that Joe's purse was still missing. So that was a happy ending.
Now, if the children wanted to go to Sunday Club, that Kate and Elaine are helping out in Sunday Club today, but if they want to stay, that's absolutely fine.
The second hymn is hymn number 108, My Life Flows On in Endless Song Above the Earth's Lamentations, hymn number 108. This reading is by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking, so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. The parents will now speak about their daughters.
Now, I'm going to present the girls with some gifts. There were book tokens, oh, they're under the book. Each of them is receiving a book token, which is fairly obvious. We just hope that they will choose something wise and beautiful and interesting for them. And the other gift is a kite. And I will explain all about the kite in the address.
Thank you.
This church doesn't have a creed. The members here are not required to believe particular articles of faith. And our service doesn't follow a liturgical calendar. And we regularly dip into and steal the wisdom from other faith systems and alter them to suit what we want. And this coming of age service is a perfect example of this. It's directed towards young people as they begin secondary school. Family members, friends, and our community come to celebrate young people who've grown up here with us. And the service marks the beginning of their journey to becoming independent adults. And the girls today decided to sign our membership book, but I would have asked them if they wanted to do that. And they're not signing as official voting members of the church. That is reserved to being an adult. In the months leading up to the service, we met regularly, and we tried to tell the girls something about other faith systems. This is to give them an appreciation that people are different. The religion you're born with is more to do with chance of where you were born than actual decisions we make. People hold different beliefs about religion, and we don't all think alike. And we try to tell them that we welcome and believe in diversity, that it shouldn't be just tolerated, it should be welcomed, respected, and celebrated. We tell them a little bit about Unitarianism, but this information is not heavily emphasized. I'm sure if a Unitarian historian were to ask girls about Unitarian history, they wouldn't pass with flying colors. And they're not meant to, because our job is not to fill their minds with facts about a particular religion. And it's certainly never to try and impose beliefs on them. Our role as helpers to educate our children was beautifully put 200 years ago by William Ellery Channing. He was a Unitarian minister in Boston, and around 1820, he wrote probably the first catechism for children. And this is what he said the aim of religious education is, and I think he got it right. He said, the great end in religious education is not to stamp our minds on the young, but to stir up their minds. It's not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire in them a love of truth. It's not to bind them with our prejudices to our ideas, but to encourage them to impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subject they encounter. It's not to impose religion on them, but to awaken their conscience and their moral discernment. In a word, he said, the great end in religious education is to awaken their soul. And when you heard the beautiful things the parents have said to their daughters today, they all talked about kindness. I think we didn't do a bad job in awakening their soul and their conscience. So far. Our wish for Lena, Tara, and Bella is that you live a life that is thoughtful, honest, and respectful of other people. That you don't follow the crowd. That you always remain true to yourself and to what you believe is true. And sometimes doing what you know to be right isn't easy. You know, you have to be willing to stand out. This service is an opportunity for the parents to speak to their child, to share something with us of their journey as parents. And that's always beautiful. And even if the girls were a little bit embarrassed today and a little bit nervous about what the parents are going to say to them, I'll tell you, in years to come, you will treasure and remember those words. You're right. For the wider church community, there's a tinge of sadness in this service because we know that it marks a time in their young lives when they're going to leave the world of coming to church with their parents and build their life that will probably be outside of this church. And while we will miss them, we hope that we have given them roots and that they will come back to us in time when they need us, and we will be here for them. A few moments ago, I presented the girls with kites. The book tokens, as I said, are fairly obvious what they're for. But these kites are to symbolize family life and how it develops and changes. As young children, children need the conscious, constant help and guidance from parents. And when children are very young, they think mum and dad are gods, and everything they say is absolute truth. Mum said it, dad said it, it's true. But children are not to stay like that the whole time. They're not meant to. It is the job of parents to give their children roots and then allow them become independent. And it is the job of the children to make sure that they become independent. That's when the teenage years kick in, and they can be a little bit challenging for parents. Suddenly your child goes from thinking you're God to thinking you're not very clever. Slightly embarrassing. But funnily enough, in a few years, they think you have matured remarkably well. And the kite symbolizes this, because for the kite to reach its potential, it must be allowed to take to the wind and reach for the sky. And to remain in the air, the kite must be held by hands that are sensitive, strong, and most of all, wise. The owner of the hands must judge when to keep a firm hold and when to allow the strings to loosen. And the owners of the hands must also be there to pick up the kite when it takes a tumble, and then to find the courage to let it fly again. They will need to develop the art of knowing when to speak out and when to say nothing. And I know the older parents who have been through all of this will have sympathy with you and wish you luck. But we would remind the parents that even in the rockiest times, that you can depend on and trust in the roots you have provided for your child. Usually in the end, everything does work out fine. And remember, you have care of them, but you can't give them your own thoughts. They have their own thoughts and ideas. And sometimes when the kite falters, it takes a tumble. We all tumble from time to time, and that too is part of life. It's how we learn things. And when we tumble, girls, what you need is three types of bone: backbone, elbow, and a funny bone. We all need backbone in our life. We need it to live up to our ideals and to do what is right. We need backbone to get through difficult times, and we need backbone to stand up for what we know and believe to be true. We need backbone to resist going along with ideas that are popular but are just unkind or unjust. And I think that's one of the things our young people have to learn with that we didn't have, on social media, you know. There's no need to be unkind. And we need elbow for elbow grace. Because anything worth achieving takes effort. Very little ever gets done by talking about it and hoping it'll work out. It needs lots of elbow grease, not just good luck and talent. Remember that the greatest, most daunting projects come to fruition by taking one step at a time and seeing the project through to completion. And that needs backbone and elbow grease. So whatever you do in life, girls, give it plenty of elbow. And one of the most useful bones to have in life is the old funny bone. Because life is ridiculous, absurd, challenging, daunting, and wonderful even in the worst of times. And it's always better when there is laughter and fun. And seeing the funny side is often the most useful thing we can do in a situation. So to end our address, I have lovely words, not in any definite order, from Dr. Seuss, that great philosopher of childhood. Lena, Tara, Bella. You've brains in your head, you've feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, you know what you know, and you are the ones who'll decide where to go. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There's some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. So be sure when you step with care and with tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. And you will succeed. You will indeed, 98.75% guaranteed. Kids, you'll move mountains. Oh, the places you'll go. Today's your day. Your mountain is waiting. And get on your way. Congratulations, Lena, Tara, Bella. Today is your day. Enjoy it. We're going to have our third hymn now, and it's hymn number 346. Come sing a song with me. Hymn number 346. Tara has our notices.
Notices. Tea and coffee and cakes are served downstairs. We would be delighted if everyone joined us. There are copies of Auskult magazine on the table outside. Please take a coffee. On Wednesday, there is a lunchtime meditation at 105 to 135, available in church and via the web camera. The book club meet on Wednesday on the 24th of April via Zoom and in person in the vestry. This month's book is Prophet Song by Paul Lynch. The annual general meeting of the congregation will take place on Sunday, 28th of April, immediately after the service. And Bridget has a few announcements.
Right, just some things to add to that. The Damer and Singleton, there's a meeting of the trustees after the service in the vestry. In May, and I haven't decided on the day yet because it's always difficult to judge this, we'll have a sale of bedding plants. We do this every year, but it's very hard to decide which Sunday the plants are going to be ready, so I'll let you know in a few days. But don't go buy bedding plants. We will have things like dahlias and asters and mesmerianthiums and things like that. And this money is going to help support the Cork congregation. For those who don't know, the Cork Church is over 300 years old, and they had a serious fire in the church in January. and they can't use the church building. And because of the age of the church, they couldn't get insurance on it without paying the lottery, literally, for it. So there's no insurance on it, and we are trying to sustain the Cork church until they get repairs and raise money and get back into that church. But just to say that the money from the plant sale is going to support Cork. And it'll be in one of the Sundays in May, that flower sale. RTE are broadcasting a service from the church this afternoon on the news channel. It won't be this service. We thought this one was far too personal for them to be involved in. But it's an earlier service they recorded. And just to say a little bit of congregational news is that a member here, Gavin, is begun training for ministry in the Unitarian congregation. He's training with the Unitarian Church in Manchester. And we wish Gavin every luck in that in the days ahead.
The final hymn is hymn number 29, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn number 29. Final blessing. Because of those who came before us, we have the faith to believe in and work for a better world, a world that is more just and fair. Let us remember to live in the moment, to love mightily, and to honour the mystery of life. Amen.